Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try?
What?
Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
Hello, tryhards. We are back after a little week off. We're doing a little bit of a bi-weekly vibe at the moment. Yeah. Working for me. Is it working for you, my friend?
It is, although I do miss you in the week off, but it means that we've got even more to chat about on the Poddy podcast.
You say that like you don't speak to me in the week off. You do.
We do talk.
Because I haven't spoken to you for 2 weeks since the last podcast, so let's keep that illusion going for the fans and listeners. What have you been up to? Have you been anywhere fun? Been anywhere interesting?
Do you think we have got fans or we got listeners? I mean, are they the same? I feel like they're slightly different.
Yeah, I definitely think we've got fans. We've got a fan, Tom Chapman, and Vicky Fleetwood. So there's two of them, so they're fans. So
Georgie Gulliver, who actually I got to see recently for a surprise down in Brighton for Rocky's 40th. It was kind of like when she got her most, I think when she got became the most capped player, or got her 100th cap, obviously everyone like went mad. There's a celebration. Then when she became England's most capped player, there was like a celebration. Then I think every single cap, because she kept getting that, she kept beating her own record, it was celebrated. So it was kind of like a 40th. We dragged it out. We surprised her down in Brighton and it was so funny. So Kim Oliver was behind the door. Rocky opened it up and she like hid behind the door because she was so scared and then had to sit down for about half an hour. She's like, oh, you can tell I'm getting old. I'm like having palpitations. You really scared me.
Did you have, I mean, obviously you're now all getting a little bit older. You're not kind of 18-year-old college girls anymore. So I'm assuming, did you do like an afternoon tea, something like that? What was the kind of form for the weekend?
Oh, no, we hit it pretty hard, to be fair. The girls, I obviously went slow and steady, which allowed me to survive. And then the next day, Kim Oliver had a hangover for all of us. So,
how badly did you get bullied? Because I've seen a video of you being made to try and stand on a plinth, a statue plinth, and the fear in your face is a mixture of, I don't want to say no to this because I'm just going to get even more sledged by Kimmy and George. But also, if I fall off this, I'm going to break every bone in my body. And yet, you still get up there. You're still set up in that plinth.
So for anyone that's been to Brighton recently, like the front has all been redone and there's like lots of art sculptures and stuff. And there's this one bit of art where, yeah, there's all these pillars. And before I knew it, Rocky and I think Chloe had got hold of my feet and were basically line out lifting me from my toes up onto this plinth, which they were like, pull yourself up. So it was a funny shape at the top. So I had to kind of like edge my way over, but realised that I definitely don't have any upper body strength. And afterwards, George is like, I'm just so pleased we've all got bingo wings now. I was like,
oh. You know, when anyway. So George sent me the video, and do you know what my response was?
No.
Nolly looks so much like her mum. She was like, yeah, what was it? All weekend.
So when we were trying to work out when we left, obviously it had been amazing weather, but then that day it was raining on the way down. And we were just about heading out. So we'd had a few drinks at home. we thought we'd go down and have a few drinks, find a couple of bars, get some dinner. George absolutely smashed it with her choice of food. It was like a pub, Japanesey, Korean-y thing, really lovely. We were all deciding whether to take coats, and instantly I was like, of course I'm taking a jacket, like, it's raining. And I was like, we're all in our mid-30s and beyond, like, why are we debating whether it was, honestly, like you said, what were we like? It was like we'd all decided we were teenagers again and we could go out in whatever we were wearing, which obviously was just like a shirt and jeans. It wasn't like tiny dresses like I used to wear at 18. But I was like, straight away got my my waterproof. George got hers, Kim got hers, and Rocky didn't have one. So we were staying in an Airbnb. And so she borrowed the purses from the Airbnb.
Nice.
So we ended up in all different coloured waterproofs. I was like, there's nothing more that says we're kind of late 30s than going out with a waterproof on.
Like going on a diamond coach trip somewhat.
It was such a great weekend. And I think, you know, as a rugby player, before you retire, you take for granted the fact that you get to see some of your best mates three times a week. So two trainings in the evening, obviously game day. And all the conversations that you have, all the catch-ups, you're just constantly on top of knowing what's going on. And you're just around people all the time. And, you know, it's one thing you don't necessarily think about when you retire, that actually normal people don't get to see their best mates that many times in a week as an adult. So after all the lockdown and after everything that's happened, just to be able to spend time with the girls was so much fun. And I highly recommend it that anybody, if you get the chance, I know the rules are all a bit all over the place still, but if you get the chance, make sure that you spend time with your friends, because honestly, it was a dream.
Lovely.
Apart from Kim's hangover, she was struggling.
I don't doubt that. I have not done anything that fun, sadly, but I did go up to Loughborough to see the GB7s girls. The week before last.
Oh yes, on Jazzy Joyce.
On Jazzy Joyce, on the fastest feet in the west of West Wales. It was really nice. Really nice to see the girls. Like, great vibes up there. It was nice and sunny, so topped up the tan. It was really good, and it looks like they're in a decent place. I know that we will have some squad announcements next week, I believe. This weekend, however, is the repechage for the remaining places. I know that we've teased that the repechage is every weekend. It is happening.
Well, I forgot that so Dee had put on her social media that she was off to Monaco, and I got all excited, announced that the tournament was this weekend. No, because she is the tournament organiser, obviously she has to go a week early. So I was announcing again on my social media. But
do you know what's not dissimilar to that is on Sunday morning, I had to send a message to Will Greenwood to tell him that it isn't in fact Father's Day, because he'd put a happy Father's Day message to his staff. I was like, it's next week, Will. And he was like, oh, I have some stuff through the post. I just thought it was this Sunday. I was like, no, next weekend. So good for everyone there.
I think we're all a bit like skewed with dates. I'm really excited to see how the repechage goes. I think there are a lot of teams there that, you know, I think by the sounds, things I've heard, a couple of bits of news that they're, you know, if they get, they have to be tested until they can go out and train. If they get a positive, it's like the whole squad is in lockdown until that's cleared. So it's pretty hectic. Like,
they're not allowed to go around Monaco. They're allowed to go to the ground and the hotel. They're not allowed to go anywhere.
Well, one person I'd like to give a shout out to is Nick Wakeley. Obviously Welsh superstar, great friend. And he is there with Uganda. Yeah, awesome. Uganda, and great stash, I reckon. And also, you know what? I think they could be the dark horses. I think they could do all right.
Do you reckon? It's interesting.
Well, there's some big physical men, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, in the men's side of the repechage, you've got France and Ireland who haven't qualified yet for the Olympics. So that's a big ask for those Ugandans.
And Tonga, have you seen recently that...
Piatau.
Not Piatau, unfortunately. Feketoa. Fekitoa is put really? His name into oh, the
I thought,
into
I thought, it. I thought Charles Pietau was gonna have a little go, but
no, I think that was the aim, I think, or maybe they're trying to get something with World Rugby, aren't they, around to be able like to dual international so that players can play for their other country.
That loophole exists. So basically you can't have been capped, I think it's for 3 years by a country, and then you can play sevens to qualify for 15s, because Stefan Armitage looked at doing it for, stop biting your nails, Nolly, looked at doing it for the 2016 Olympics. So the Armitage brothers were born in France, so they were French qualified anyway. So he didn't need to do it through the residency, and he was going to try and qualify to play for France via the sevens route. So there's been a lot of talk of it happening. And obviously back in the day, there were a lot of dual internationals because of the tier one, tier two, tier three rules. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But this weekend in Monaco, the men's repêchage especially is spicy.
And it is also for only one spot, whereas the women's, so it's a kind of like a simple shootout. You win the tournament, you get to go through. The women's is obviously with two. I think you can't look further than Russia and France.
Will they play a final? Like, will they play off at the end, or will they just play two semi-finals and those winners have qualified? Will they then play?
Yeah, they will, because they will qualify through into different pools at the Olympics. So winner one will go into one pool and winner two will go into another. And that will be done on rankings as well. So I'm not quite sure if the pools have been announced, but
well,
I know.
Exclusively, I can tell you, I've just had a message from Dee and she said they are announced on the 7th of the 7th. So you and I spent quite a long time this morning trying to Google to find the pools. The reason we couldn't find them is because they have not been drawn.
Yeah. Well, you know, for any of the nations, those two teams in particular, those two spots, and I don't want to say that they're definitely going to win, because obviously they've got to go through and perform. And when it mattered most, both of them buckled and lost to Team GB. Yeah. So Team GB got the spot from Europe. So it's going to be interesting to see how they perform. And actually going back to the repêchage in 2016, it was a shootout. The winner for the tournament, it was over in Ireland, got the last spot, and Spain went over anyone's expectations and beat Russia in the final. So I think it's going to be interesting, because that pressure gauge, and those, you know, France have been at tournaments. Russia went to a tournament not so long ago and they looked absolutely flying. They were just in like
they
play mad form.
At the Europeans the week last week?
Maybe they did. I'm not quite sure. I wasn't paying too much attention to it because the Team GB girls weren't there. They were in Ireland training. But I think from a qualification perspective, all of the teams my eyes would be on that tournament to see how those teams get on, because they're going to end up in one of the pools, and that probably likely one of them will be in your pool. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like they're tier two or tier three nations that are pushing for those final two spots. Those two teams are big hitters. Like France and Russia are big hitters on the World Series normally. Get to semi-finals regularly, so they are massive teams to be watching out for.
One thing I was quite interested to hear your take on is the European teams have actually all been getting quite a lot of game time under their belt. We know that GB7s went over to Ireland to go and train. There was that St George's Park competition with the French and the Irish. There's obviously been a European event last weekend in Lisbon, and now the repêchage, which obviously does include some non-European teams, but these European teams have got quite a lot of game time under their belt, whereas tournament favourites, gold medalists from 4 years ago and the Black Ferns, who've won everything since, haven't had a huge amount of competition outside of their countries. Is there a chance they're going to come into this undercooked?
It's interesting. So Australia toured New Zealand and they played in a 3-day tournament where they played. I watched some highlights and they looked on form. It was interesting because obviously some of the Australia won a couple, but I think it wasn't the first string team that were going out for the Black Ferns. Oh my God. In one of the highlights, Michaela Blythe absolutely smoked someone. Like, oh my God. they look
for everything she knows, so you know.
They look really good, to be fair. But actually, on their social media, they've just announced that they are going over to the Oceania Sevens, which I'm assuming is including Fiji, possibly. It will be. I'm not quite sure the teams there, so they will be traveling and playing. I think the one thing about New Zealand is it doesn't matter what opposition they play; they still play like themselves. So, as long as they're drilled, it does change when you've got different defences in front of you.
From the outside looking in, has looked like a really large training squad as part of their sevens program, and I wonder if they extended that knowing that they weren't going to get to play outside of New Zealand, and actually if they could make a training squad a really high quality, you've got that much more competition to play inter-team stuff as well.
Yeah, and looking at the when they played Australia, some of the young girls and the highlights, it was brilliant because Ricky Swinnell was commentating on it. And she said that they looked in good form. Both teams looked a little bit rusty. But once they got into it, they were class. And it was good to see some of the younger players and seeing on the senior girls' social medias, pictures of like these 18-year-old girls that were just carving up. And I think, I can't remember which player I messaged. I think it might have been Gossie just said, it's just unfair. You're literally completely just keep producing all these talented players. But I think, one thing else that's come out of New Zealand that's really positive is they don't have a massive club program, but they do have the Farmer Palmer Cup. They have that, and it's just been announced that all of it will be televised with one of the games on free to air each round. And I think, just stepping away from sevens, it's so important that in New Zealand they build a hype on TV and exposure to the girls, not just for the girls themselves to bring out, these talented women and get them to be their names to be known, but just to get women's rugby on the radar for the community, knowing that the World Cup, because every game they're going to be talking about World Cup, aren't they? So it's a really brilliant way to keep it on people's radars.
Well, I think it's a really important blueprint for broadcasters up here to notice what happened in New Zealand last year. So a number of Farah Palmer Cup games were televised last year, and there was a huge discussion about what's the point in putting games on TV if they're not the highest quality games. So the way it worked is the games followed NPC games. So whether they were the day after or whether they were double header clashes, if Sky Sport NZ were at a ground for, say, Auckland men, they would then put the Auckland women game on, but it wouldn't necessarily be the best game of the weekend. And by default, they were televising women's games. They weren't choosing the highest quality game of the weekend. And there was a lot of chat that more often than not, it was ending up as games that you wouldn't have picked, and it wasn't great as a showcase. So I think it's really interesting that, as opposed to burying their heads in the sand and doing the bare minimum, Sky Sport are doing what they should be. They are going over and above. And I'd love for broadcasters up here to listen to that and notice that and think, yeah, this is what we should be doing too.
Yeah, I think for everybody that is calling for the Premiership to all be televised, though, like, you made a really good point there that the games that were being televised were rigged already because of the men's games. And actually, they are double headers. You've got a home team because they mirror the men's in terms of the brands and the teams that are playing. And actually, in the Premiership, that's not the case. Look at all the grounds that the women play at. It's not as simple as getting TV cameras and TV crews to, say, for instance, down at Wasp FC in Acton. To rig up that is massive for a TV quality delivery. So I don't think the Women's Premiership is in the same place. It isn't, the Farah Palmer Cup is like a regional-based tournament. It's not a Premiership, so it's a slightly different structure. And I don't agree with televising all games in our Premiership yet. It would be great, but you've got to look at kickoff times. They're all coming in at the same time. You're already splitting up the coverage. And I think being able to have it consistently on one platform, that's how you grow it, so people know where to go, and they can keep, you keep just building it and actually putting it out on England Rugby YouTube. Having spoken to Nathan Middleton, who works at the RFU, who's been delivering all of this, he said that the amount of traffic they've been picking up by putting it onto the Facebook page and the YouTube channel, like organically, has been amazing. But then what they did, what they changed was then they put it onto the Premier 15's platform for the semi, for the last round of the games and for the semis and the final, which then dropped the numbers because it changed where it was going. So I think what they need to do, and he was very aware that there just needs to be a strategic approach. Like you've said, Sky Sports New Zealand has stepped in and said, right, we're going to do it across the board. It's kind of like they need to do something like that in England as well. But I don't think TV coverage for all games is there yet.
I'm not necessarily sure, though, that I am even talking about the promotion and production of Prem 15's games on a weekly basis. We've rehashed this time and again. The Six Nations coverage was not good enough. It was hidden. Yeah. It was in places that it was impossible to find. Let's hope, now that it's been announced that the rights of the Women's Six Nations will be free to air next year, continued, that we don't see them buried, that we're not texting different people in the game to say, where have you found it? How can I watch it? Can I only watch this on my phone or laptop? Can I not watch this on the TV? I think the basis of international rugby needs to be higher for women. Before we even think about Prem 15.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think that it was just to clear up that if we're talking about, you know, club rugby in inverted commas in New Zealand, that we're not saying that we're there yet with our club rugby. Like, the standard of it is great, and we're not saying that I'm not saying that it's not good enough, but I don't think it's good enough across the board to have all games televised. We're not there yet. Funding wise, it costs way too much money, but you're 100% right about test match stuff. It has to be far easier to access. And the other thing, like I said, with the club game, whether it's online or being streamed or whatever, it's consistency, so that you don't have to keep chopping and changing and looking and working out where it is and what's going on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One thing before we finish on Monaco Sevens, I just want to give a shout out to Jack Brandon, who will be floor managing there this weekend.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah. And he was floor managing for me last Sunday at the Ealing Saracens game. He was a late replacement, a late call up. Brandon Senior, his dad, a legend of rugby union, but also incredibly accident prone, dislocated his knee on the weekend when he was floor managing. So
how did he do it? Because all I saw was he's been injured and then he needed surgery, but I didn't see what actually happened.
Ball rolled towards him and he put his foot, like he stepped down onto the ball to stop it, but the ball continued to roll under his heel and he just went over and dislocated his knee. So yeah, apparently it was scenes as Martin Bayfield stood there going, medic. and he had to be stretched off the pitch. But yeah, so he then got pulled from our coverage on Sunday of the championship final. Jack stepped in and was just lovely all day, as he always is. So massive thanks to Jack for being such
I tell you, I mean, lovely family, great blokes to be around, and they, yeah, I just love the fact that Jack steps in. He's like, yeah, whatever, Dad, I've got it. No problem. Yeah. But whatever, what else was lovely was your delivery and your little trio of love. That sounds a bit weird. Topsy, Flats, and you.
Our trio of
I tuned in. It probably wouldn't have been, well, you know what? It probably would have been a game that I tuned into knowing that I'm going to be working on the Lions game, because obviously there were a number of Lions in
there. Were a
that,
number of Lions.
Not
yeah.
Ealing team, but Saracens team. Yes. And yeah, how was it? Because it was slightly different. You were like down in the
In the red zone. I have to stick things up my nose and down my throat all week to qualify to be in the red zone. So that was fun.
I thought you meant in the red zone. Oh, that's a bit weird.
No, we will leave that there, park that. But it was good fun. Leave it there. This is family friendly. It was so hot down there. It was absolutely disgusting. Now, I've covered Dubai Sevens multiple times. Sydney Sevens in Parramatta, where it was disgustingly hot, but this was something else because we're just not built for it in the UK. We're not ready for that kind of heat, and those artificial pitches are just so punishing. For those, I mean, most people will be aware, the black rubber crumb that you see on an artificial pitch, the stuff that gets everywhere, all in your car, all in your shoes, etc.
When you play, all in your pants as well.
Yeah, literally everywhere. It's recycled car tyres. So you think when you watch the Formula One and they talk about the heat coming off the tyres, it's just like soaking it up. And it was 30 degrees and it was probably 50 degrees down on that pitch.
Hey, my last proper rugby that was just a sevens tournament with Wasps was at Ealing. So it was a sevens tournament and it topped over 35 degrees. It was the hottest day of the year 2 years ago. I've never been so hot in my whole entire life, and I was so unfit. I hadn't trained. I was so much older than everybody else. It was awful. And being relatively fair-skinned, it was pretty brutal. So I know exactly how you feel. But yeah, I thought you did a brilliant job, and you were you seem to be besties with
Kelly Brown.
Yeah,
ledge that is Kelly Brown. Yeah, he. I spent a lot of time just asking him to like give me things to talk about on air. So it was like being a little mole. It was really nice. And it was just really good fun. And it was obviously very one-sided on the day. But I think I'm not sure Ealing will be that disappointed from the perspective of it's not a case that they played the team that dropped down for them from the Prem based on performance relegation. They are playing a top four team in Europe. That's exactly what Ben Ward called it. And Mark McCall turned around in the week when he did his interview with Dricko and said, we're treating this like a European Cup final. Now, if I played for Ealing, I'd have gone down in that warm-up. Oh, that's my understand.
You know what, though? God,
like, no thanks.
It's interesting, isn't it, though? Because I was thinking the whole way through the game, imagine that. Well, who was the number four for Ealing? He was so chopsy. He was like getting into everyone, like first 2 minutes was like chops into Owen Farrell, then like late hit. I think it was Billy Vunipola. Like, it was just like loving being an absolute nose. And I was also thinking, you know, for some of those lads, I don't know the Ealing boys' names, which I apologise, but the 15 was class. Some of his defence was absolutely outstanding, and some of his line. But for them, they're in the few weeks, they'll be watching those men play against the Springboks in a Lions series, and they can say that they've played against them. Like, how cool is that? To, you know, for some of them, their heroes would have been on the field against them. And it was, it's also an interesting dynamic, because when those boys are like getting stuck into the Saris guys, I was like, the Saris boys can't win, because if they go back at them, then they're arrogant and they're, yeah. But if they don't say anything, then they're arrogant and they're like, do you know what I mean? It's like so brutal.
About Jamie George at Richmond had got fledged by the Richmond front row. And I was talking to Kelly about
Jamie.
And I said, like, it's, you know, from Jamie's perspective, like, what can you do? Like, what, you're not going to get into an argument with somebody who, you know, then I also don't get, from a front row perspective, I don't get it, because you're scrummaging against Saracens. You're going to be on skates the whole game. You're literally going to be marching backwards for the entire match. Like, you are moonwalking your way through 80 minutes. But you're, like, chopsing off to their front row of Lion players. Very, very odd. My highlight for it, though, and I think the thing that kind of really cemented the realisation that there were superstars on show there on Sunday, and the Saracens boys, it was only ever going to be one-way traffic because of the standard of those players. But obviously I was down in the red zone around the benches, and a load of the Ealing non-playing squad members were down there, kind of, you know, players who were perhaps additionally reserved for the game and stuff like that. So pre-match, they were milling around in their tracksuits. I couldn't have told you who any of them were. They were, you know, these are all boys who have played a couple of championship games. They're not even like first team Ealing boys. And I realized the star status of international players and Lions players, even to them, when Brian O'Driscoll came down. So I was working for Brian O'Driscoll and Craig Dawes production company on Sunday, and they were there, and Dricko came down, and these boys were like, is that Brian O'Driscoll? And I could hear them, and you could tell there was this, like, can I ask him for a photo? Like, what do we do? And that was the moment where I thought, this is a huge occasion for these boys. And perhaps it wasn't fair on Ealing this season. They are a premiership team in waiting. They've made big strides. They want to go up. If they were playing a Worcester or a Newcastle in a doubleheader final, it possibly could be a very different story for them. But when you're playing a team like Saracens, there is just...
You're playing the team that's won everything. Like, so it's when people are saying, oh, there was a few tweets and from people that are like pretty in it with rugby. And they're saying, oh, you could see the disparity. And I'm like, what, between the top of the premiership and the top of the championship? Of course you would. Like, it isn't the normal route of what would happen in terms of bottom and top. Like, that gap is far closer than top and top. Like, of course, yeah, otherwise the premiership isn't doing it right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not even the top of the premiership, it's also the top of Europe. So you've got this, like, step up again.
I think Ben Ward described it as, I listened to, he'd done a podcast with our friend Ben Gulliver, and he talked about the fact that you've kind of got, the premiership is tiered within itself. So you've probably got the bottom four, five teams of premiership teams. And then you kind of go into this, like, European bracket, and then you've got your internationals, and then you've got your Lions players, which are the cream of the crop playing at those top teams in that league. So yeah, how you get a team up for the game at the Stonex this weekend. And the one thing I think that's going to be difficult, that I can't see that any of those Lions boys won't play, because they want game time before they join up with the rest of the squad who have joined up in Jersey already. But also, if you're someone like Billy Vunipola, who isn't selected for the Lions, we've already seen Sam Simmons go down once last week. You are the next cab on the rank, and you want to be playing. It doesn't matter who you're playing against. You want to be playing rugby, showing. He looked great on the weekend. He looks really well conditioned for a change. And you want to be on the radar so that if somebody goes down, Sam Simmons will play another 2 weeks of rugby, hopefully for Exeter. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, I have to be fit and ready.
Mate, Billy Vunipola off the back of a scrum that was basically doing whatever it wanted, running from the base to the number 10. I wouldn't have even attempted to tackle him. Like,
can you imagine, like, pitch side, the noise he makes when he hits people? Like, you can... You know, like when you jump onto an old sofa and the cushions go like, poof, that's the noise the players were making. Like, it was horrible. Like, you could hear the air leaving people's bodies. And he also, again, my best friend Kelly Brown and I were chatting post-match, you know, socially, casually, because we're just best mates. And we were talking about Billy, and he had possibly lost a little bit of what had made him Billy earlier this season, whether that was lack of game time, poor conditioning, maybe not feeling... I don't think he plays as well for England as he does for Saracens personally, but he has this thing I've always thought, and having watched Billy from a really young age, because obviously he is actually Welsh, is that he's got this weird thing. When he's playing well, he looks unbalanced when he runs. because he's got so much movement in his hips. Like, he looks like he's going to topple, but it's because he's very squat and low to the ground when he runs, and he has got this amazing motion through his midsection and his hips. And he is a bit of a dancing, jinking player, even for somebody of that size. And he is massive. He's what, like, he's 185 kegs or something sick like
185,
that.
185, you said.
I don't know.
Probably maybe 120 kilos, 130 kilos.
He's like 135. I swear Kelly told me he's like 185. I'm sticking to that. He weighs 40 stone.
Should we talk about some other rugby, the other top stuff? Because there was some play, well, the final round of the Premiership. I didn't get to watch loads of it because I was working with the Youth Sport Trust on actually a really cool weekend, going to Girls Active Camp, which is like year nine and 10 girls who are picked for leadership qualities. And I was on the call. So I had the TV on, but obviously I was doing those Zooms. But yeah, massive comeback from Exeter to beat Sale. And I saw bits of it, but I think there was a yellow card given to Ewers that should have been a red. It's now been cited up to a red, so he will miss the remainder of the season. But I think the biggest thing was AJ McGinty being stretchered off. He has been probably one of the in-form fly halves this season. And not just what he provides for Sale, but the fact that America are finally touring and have got an opportunity, you know, to be playing against England. And the reports are saying he's not going to be fit. And I'm just gutted, because when someone's so in form that they finally get to wear their country's colours at a stadium against a massive team, and to, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it was really, really sad. So I'm gutted for him. But the clash they've got this weekend, and you're down there, aren't you? Are you working on that one?
So yeah, I'm in the truck for BT on Saturday. So I didn't realise how late a kickoff it was, because I want to go for dinner with Rory Lawson and Ben Kayser in Cardiff afterwards. So five behind to me.
Maybe you could pop in to see Big Sue on the way down. She'd give you some lunch.
I'm going to Devon the week after, so maybe I'll go and see her then. But one thing I know that you wanted to talk about whilst we're talking about Exeter Sale, talking about Sale, is Marlon Yard just got awarded the Premiership Community Award.
Yeah, so each year the players are nominated for what they've been doing in the community, and Gallagher won this year, went to Marlon. And so Ollie Thorley was nominated for stuff he did in the community in Gloucester, Jimmy Gopeth, and there was one other player, but he got it for the work he's done and voluntary stuff for Centrepoint, which is homeless charity up in Manchester. And I saw bits and pieces going out on his social media, and they didn't just raise loads of money. He also spent quite a bit of time there, and they put together a whole load of like boxes and of clothes and items to support people that were struggling. And actually, there's been some stuff with HSBC recently on the work they're doing, providing bank accounts for homeless people, because they've done some social media stuff, and it's absolutely brilliant. There's a video that I've reposted saying, like, because the stats are crazy with the amount of homeless people that there are in the UK. And actually, and one of the reasons,
just to pick up on that, that the HSBC campaign works hand in hand with Centrepoint and Shelter and the other homeless charities in the UK. So it's not a separate thing. If you are supporting those charities, this is something that HSBC are doing supplementary to them, because, as I'm sure you were just about to say, the reality is that getting yourself out of homelessness is the issue. And if you don't have a fixed address, you can't have a bank account. So the HSBC program works with Centrepoint and Shelter. They provide the address, Centrepoint and Shelter, HSBC provide the bank account. So even just things like being paid benefits, you don't pick up your gyro in cash anymore. It has to be paid digitally into a bank account. In terms of applying for jobs, you have to have a fixed abode more often than not. So this
bank
is
to be paid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the hashtag is hashtag vicious circle. And that, like you've just said, it's, you can't have them without the other. And it's time to break that. And there was it's a pretty hard hitting video that they've posted. So if you go onto HSBC UK, but to do that, but I just think it was really important, because it's not something that a lot of people really realize. I genuinely didn't know the stats behind it. And also why it's so hard to break that cycle. And I think, like, congratulations to Marlon, so for his award. And then the other
add to that with regard to Centrepoint, it isn't just a Manchester-based charity. I would implore people to go and look at Centrepoint's website. I share this on LinkedIn. I don't share it on, like, normal social media, but if at Christmas, I don't send Christmas cards or gifts to any of my clients. I have a monthly donation to Centrepoint, which specifically supports...
Oh, is that why I don't get a card?
Which specifically supports their support of homeless young people in the UK. So I have a very tangible donation. I know that my donation monthly will put the roof over a head and give a bed to a young homeless person in the UK. So I implore people to go and check Centrepoint out, because they are an absolutely incredible charity with what they do. And yeah, they're absolutely amazing. So I just wanted to add that in there. Also, did you know what Marlon Yard's dad's name is?
No.
Scotland.
No.
I swear on my life, his dad's name is Scotland Yard.
Are you joking?
I promise you, Marlon's dad is called Scotland Yard.
Oh, wow.
I know, amazing.
Well, talking about names.
World class.
My niece still doesn't have a name. I'm hoping, I mean, we don't have the surnames that will create such a ridiculous name, but yeah. We're still waiting for little baby something I was just going to talk about the other, and actually links in nicely with what you were talking about earlier about Harlequins. The next semi-final is Bears v Quins. Quins had a good game at the weekend. Bears had their game cancelled because of COVID, but they were awarded the 4 points, which meant that they kept their spot. Obviously, I think they'd already qualified for a home semi-final anyway. But you were saying something earlier about Michael Leiner's son.
Oh, gosh. So Louis Leiner scored a try on the weekend, and it was on social media, and Michael congratulated his son. And it just makes me feel so old. So I worked with Michael at Sky over the years and went to his house to do a shoot many years ago. And Louis and the boys were literally playing with Lego. And now he's scoring premiership tries. How old?
Well, they're saying that Jack Noel and all the boys, they still play with Lego. So, hey, he might not have been that young.
Let's talk about what the Exeter boys do in their spare time, because we know what they're not doing, getting vaccines. On that note, should we wrap this up for the week and see everybody in a fortnight? Or maybe not. We'll see.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.